Welcome back to This Working Droid. I'm your host, as always, Headphones Neil, bringing you episode number 75, Excel Macros. So for today's episode, I thought I'd share a way of, or introduce a way of helping you automate tasks in Excel. So I actually got started on this a few years ago, mostly because I wanted to get over the hump of thinking that macros were something that were exceedingly difficult to do, but for me, I found that it's mostly full of nuances, so it's very particular in how it needs to interact with your spreadsheet or among different spreadsheets if you want to use them in multiple files. But basically getting around that, or once you get around that, they're actually a very, very useful tool, and it's something I can't actually live without. So basically, I use macros to help automate common tasks in Excel. They can be as simple or basic as recording regular tasks if your spreadsheets are remaining the same. So let's say you export a report from whatever software you're using and you always know that your headers are going to have the same or be in the same spot. You can have Excel automatically change those to whatever conditions you want. So if you want cell A1 to always be bold and italicized, cell 2 to be have a background color of red, and cell B4 to, let's say, be font size 32, then you hit record, label your macro, and do those tasks, hit stop, and every time you run that macro, it'll do those same things. The key to setting up macros, at least for me, is to save all my macros in the personal macro workbook. That way, it's available to me across multiple workbooks. That way, let's say you're running that same report, it's not tied to that workbook. It'll be saved in a hidden folder on your computer. That way, it's always there. You can add more macros, delete macros, edit macros, and they're always available to you. But the next level for macros is editing the code to adjust based on the type of report. So let's say you have a report that changes in length, or you have certain fields that you want to adjust, but because, let's say, at one point your customer shows up three times because you sent three shipments, and another time it's going to be they have five shipments, then you need to adjust how often it looks for those fields. So you can hit record to record whatever task you want. So let's say you want it to always look in column A for whatever text you want, and you want just that text to be, let's say, font size 15. Then once you finish that recording, you can go in, set it up to look through that through column A, for example, or in this example, and look for that name, because you may have, let's say, 500 customers, but they're not always next to each other. So you have it scan those rows for that name and make the adjustments. So the key in that example is that basically you're going to be setting up a loop to scan from, let's say, row 1 to whatever size that you're comfortable with. So for example, if you know that your reports are always less than 50 rows, then you can have it scan from row 1 to 50 and have that happen. The beauty of macros is that you can adjust that to whatever you want. So let's say as a growing business now, all of a sudden, instead of 50 rows, you've reached 50 rows and now you need to adjust that to encompass, let's say, 300 customers. You can adjust your report to, let's say, 305 or let's say 400, just to give yourself some leeway. That way you know that everything is going to be accounted for, and you don't have to make that many changes to account for those the increased size of your reports. The flip side is that your macro is going to stay as small as possible so that it runs as fast as possible. So rather than having it scan an entire column from, let's say you're on a 32 or a 64-bit computer, if you have it scan from row 1 to 65,000, it's going to take a really long time, especially if you only have, 30 rows of data or 100 rows of data. So controlling that loop will help control the speed of your report as well, and your macro as well. And if something goes wrong, you'll know as soon as possible. You can also use macros to copy the selected data you want to a new sheet. So let's say every month you run a report for, let's say, you have a report that you run for invoices and returns, but you want to see only, let's say, invoices that are greater than $500 or only returns that have a particular unit, then you can set up a macro to search for that unit and any returns and copy them into a new sheet. That way, you have that same source report and you can keep that as backup, and then you have your filters as well, so you can distribute that as well. And so you can do all sorts of things like that. It's very customizable, but remember, it's very picky. So let's say you have a part number that has a capital A in the middle of it, you'll need to make sure that that capital A is matched exactly, because things like that are very important. Same thing with the placement of numbers and decimals and formulas and things like that. It's very picky, but it's not something that's difficult, and it's also very logical. So if you want certain things to happen in a certain manner, you need to make sure that you set it up that way. I always set up a couple of different macros just so I have my main macro that I'm working on, and I'll set up sub macros. So I'll have macros 1, 2, and 3. I'll keep my macro 1 as the main one where I'm going to, basically it's final and the piece of code works, that macro is good, I'm happy with what it's doing. And I'll use the, let's say, macro 2 and macro 3 as testing macros. So if I want to add something to macro I have already, or it's something new that I'm trying out, then I'll try out that new piece of code, make sure it works as intended, it captures all the data I want, it doesn't mess up anything I did with my other macro, and then I'll add it once it's all completed, and I'll test again to make sure it all works nicely, and then I'll go from there. So just a little bit of a tip, and something to think about. And then of course the final piece is to add comments in your macros. So for me, oftentimes when I have a macro that's finalized, I'll leave it at that and I'll keep using it, and I'll be happy for, you know, it can be, let's say, 2 weeks later or 2 months later or even 2 years later that I'll look at the code again. And in that much time, I may forget what each piece of code, individual piece of code and chunks do in that macro. So what I do is, as I'm going, I try and put in comments. You just have to put in a backslash and type the comment for what it, usually what the code does, or if you want to put in more information, you can. But the key takeaway from this is to put in those notes so that you know that that's what that code does. So if you know that the code is supposed to remove extra spaces from cells, or a copy from one sheet to another, or add information, that you put that in. I mean, you could always go in and check the code for what it does, but the context of it may be lost depending on the report, so as much information is also useful to put in as well. But that is really all for that. So if you have any questions, comments, concerns, you're confused about something, want to add something, thought I missed something or said something wrong, you can always email me at headphonesneil@yahoo.com. You can leave me a voicemail at 714-451-6574. And you can find me on Twitter at PatelN01, where you can get all of my latest updates and interact with me there as well. And if you want to check out more shows on the Geek.io network of shows or past episodes of This Working Droid, you can visit geek-io.com. And you can also find our contact form as well if you want to reach out to me that way as well. And I want to give a special thanks to our sponsor for the show, Puget Systems. If you want to get started on your brand new system where you have Excel set up to create your macros, or you're into video editing, photo editing, playing the latest games at the best graphics and frame rates, then Puget Systems has what you need. Be sure to visit geek-io.com/PUGET to get started on your custom rig today. We thank them for their support, and we hope you show them your support as well. But that is all for this particular episode. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time.